that's with us, and Sister Carmelita. They're here for the first time. I think he's been through Alabama, but he's never been here for a convention, so we have two this morning that are here for the first time in convention, so we're happy to have them. He has asked us to open with hymn number 4, My Goal is Christ, hymn number 4, verses 1 and 2, and let's stand on the second verse, and after that I'll ask Brother David Naminsky from the Northwest Indiana Ecclesia to open with prayer. Hymn number 4, verses 1 and 2, standing on the second verse.
Living and kind, Heavenly Father and High, we draw nigh to thy heavenly throne of grace again to seek thy blessing upon us as we wish to be further enlightened by thy great word of truth. We do thank thee for all the bountiful gifts and blessings for us being here to study and to meditate upon another portion of thy word. Trust that thou will bless the lips of our brother Furness as he ministers unto us, that we may be able to be built up in this most holy faith and to cherish it more as the years go by. So we commit ourselves into thy hands and ask it all in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
We're so happy to have Brother Ken Furness and his wife with us. And he will be speaking on the theme discourse, as you can see over on the side here. And it's also in your program. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Brother Ken Furness.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Thank you, dear brother, for your wonderful prayer. Sister Carmelita and I are very happy to be with you at this convention. It brings us great joy to meet the brethren here. We want to bring you the Christian loving greetings from the brethren back home, the class we meet with. They all wanted to be remembered to you from our families as well. We also have loving greetings from the brethren from Europe, which we correspond quite a bit with. And also we were there this year, and we visited the different brethren, different classes, as well as the conventions there. And the brethren want to send their Christian loving greetings to you here, wherever we're going to meet. We have special greetings as well from Brother and Sister Jones from Winnipeg, Canada, and also from the Balco family from Pennsylvania. As Brother Jim has introduced to you the scripture, 1 Timothy 4, I'd like to read from the New American Standard, which is just a little more clarification on that scripture. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and we'll also read verse 3, because I think those three verses go together. And this is how it reads. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, I want you to recognize there are three points there, and that is the falling away from the faith, deceitful spirits, and doctrines of demons. And then the second verse says, by means of hypocrisy of liars sheared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. And that will come up later. And the third verse is, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God had created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Now, when we study the Bible, we always want to know who wrote it, to whom was it written, and what is the subject about. And here we find the Apostle Paul. He's giving instructions to somebody, and that somebody is young Timothy. And so Paul is telling him, he says, as you will be assisting classes, in other words, you're going to be establishing elders and deacons, you also be faced with false doctrines, which will be creeping in. And so Paul mentions to Timothy that the Spirit tells us this. And so who is this Spirit, first of all? In Genesis 1:2, Brother Michael talked about it yesterday, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. There's a New American Standard, which is a little different. That the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. It is God's invisible working power. It is God's truth. And in John 16, the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, verse 33, says, when he, the Spirit, or it, the Spirit of truth, comes, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own initiative, but whatever it hears, it will speak and it will disclose to you what is to come. Paul here is disclosing to young Timothy what the Spirit says. He says, you, Timothy, you will see false doctrine or teaching. And so there were those who said in Paul's day that the reign has already begun. The resurrection is over and Jesus is not the Messiah. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 1 to 5. We'll discuss this a little later as well. But to save time in reading, and Paul tells us here that before the coming of our Lord Jesus, there shall be a falling away from the faith. He says, a man of sin shall be revealed. And then as we drop down to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, we find that false prophets also will arise, Peter tells us, among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. You will be secretly introduced destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. It'll bring swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their own sensuality. And because of them, the way of the truth will be malignant, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And then we find in the Old Testament, we are told as in God in times past spoke unto the fathers through the prophets, and they were his mouthpieces. And so Satan spoke through his agents, his agencies, and who was his first agent? The serpent. It became his agent in beguiling Eve into disobedience. Satan manifests his powers through the magicians, soothsayers of Babylon at that time, remarkably in those of Egypt, where God's powers was manifested through Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh. And this is recorded in Exodus the 7th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Also Exodus the 8th chapter, and verses 7 to 18. And so we'll not read this to save time. Now, I want you to remember King Saul. I'm sure you've read this story. He consulted a medium. a woman, a witch at Endor. Now, Satan is not a prophet. Not that God reveals coming things to him, but he is a student of God's word. And you say, how is that? He's a believer. Yes, James 2:19 tells us. The devils also believe, and they tremble. And then in Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 14. Besides, we should not forget the words of the apostle, that he that had the power of death is the devil. Also Isaiah 8, verses 19 and 20. The first stage in the predicted development of the wicked one is that of apostasy, which means falling away from the faith. Now, I quoted earlier 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Paul was speaking of the return of Christ. He says, for the day will not come except there come a falling away first. Falling away from what? Falling away from the first truth, the first message given by our Lord Jesus to his apostles. That same thought is expressed in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in latter times some shall fall away from the truth. This refers not to the very last times, but to the times subsequent to those which the apostle was writing. And so in reading the rest of the scripture verses, 1 and 2, one does not need to be a professor to discover in them the great outlines of the Roman apostasy. And remembering that apostasy is pointing to the revelation of the man of sin, which was preparing his way. It's furnishing the condition out of which he emerges. And we feel sure that we are on the right trail in finding the realization of this in the early corruption of apostate faith. It is evidently a spiritual defection, the germs of which were already planted in the secrets and which in latter times were to appear in defecting from the faith. The Bishop of Rome and his successors began to betray Christ while professing to serve him, perverting his doctrines and ordinances by mixing them with what? With pagan and Jewish corruption. In Titus 1, verses 9 to 16, Paul warns us of false profession. He says, hold fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers. They are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach. One should not be paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. Now we're beginning to know why Paul wrote this letter to young Timothy, as we read the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Paul says to young Timothy, he says, a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What is the main theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Do you ever think about it? What is the main theme? It's Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the resurrection, his kingdom. Now, when the prince of this world offered all the kingdoms of the earth to Christ, what did our Lord do? Our Lord declined the offer. Instead, he accepted a present cross by yielding by his Father, to his Father, to do his will. But what the Son of Man refused, the Roman bishop a few centuries later accepted it. The prince of this world, the princes of this world, they received the temporal power of the kings of the earth, and that shout of triumph which belongs only to the Redeemer in his millennial glory, but was taken by the apostate Bishop of Rome as early as the 3rd century. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. This we believe to be the wicked one, the man of sin, A bishop who, while communing with Christ, is working with the rulers of this world, enriching himself with their silver and gold as the price of crucifying the Son of God afresh and putting him to an open shame. Now, going back to the days of Jesus and the apostles, we find that Satan still operated in much the same manner, as well as a variety of other ways. And we find this in Acts the 8th chapter, in verses 7 to 24. Here Satan uses power to delude the people. And then we are told in Acts the 13th chapter, verses 8 to 10, Paul and Barnabas had an experience with another of these mediums of the devil. Also in Acts the 16th chapter, and verses 16 and 18. We find over a period of time that Satan had kept up his practices with the various changes of method to suit the circumstance. And so Satan, such as using religion to disguise himself as an angel of light. We find this in 2 Corinthians 11:14. As you go back to the time of the Dark Ages, Satan had a stronghold on religion, gradually began to divide. Satan formed more groups. If you don't like this group, no problem, I'll give you another one. And it continued to grow in number. According to statistics, you go back 100 and some years, there were 1,100 major religions in the world. That's not too long ago. How many do you think you have today? Major ones. I'm not talking about little ones. Major ones. You got 4,000. He's not asleep, is he? If you do not like any of these 4,000 religions that I give you, I'll give you another one. The Church of Satan. And where else was the best place to start it? In the state of California. All good things come from the West. But you know something? Don't feel bad about it. Because it has covered a lot of the world. When we were in Europe, it's in Poland. When we were in Ukraine, it's there. We're in Moldova, it's there. In Romania, it's there also. It's spread like wildfire. But there's another religion that's growing, the fastest growing religion in the world today. Do you know who that is? Islam. Did you ever read a book on that? If you do have a chance to get the book on that, read it. It's interesting. Because they don't know one iota of truth whatsoever. Now, there's another deceptive spirit spoken by Paul in our 1 Timothy 4:1. And this is what the panel is going to talk about, Spiritism. And so we're going to leave that subject to them. Spiritism, though refined and modernized, it is not the same that it ever was in ages past. Because its object is to darken the truth. No love for God or his son Jesus whatsoever. They claim that Jesus was a fine medium and that was taught and used in Spiritism in his day, as well as he understood it. They do not outwardly profess to oppose the Bible and its teachings, but they do not really vote teaching and practicing the very things the Bible condemns. And still seeking to prove by their own enchantments that men are not dead. Still upholding Satan's first lie in Genesis 3:4, you shall not surely die. Deceptive spirit. Spiritism hates light, and their wonders are done under cover of their favorite principle. And what is it? Darkness. Their work of proselyting to is dark, covering secrets. Do you know much about the Masons? Had secrets. Some of you know about it, maybe. Maybe that's what you were before. John 3:20. Jesus gives us a word of wisdom on this subject. And this is what he says. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light neither come into the light lest his deeds should be reproved. The Bible is our authority. It recognizes Satan is the prince of this world. John 14:30. Also in Ephesians 2:2, Satan is the prince and power of the air. What does it mean? Spiritual power. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And the Bible tells us that spiritism has not reached the climax of its power. Its powers are to increase, as stated by Paul in 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit of God explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. In Revelation 16, verse 14, Jesus said these words, "They are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty." Today, on radio, printed page, television programs, every day has a psychic program. Did you notice that? It captures a large audience. This as our modern-day deceptions, human traditions and creeds of men is all around us. Deceptive spirits. 1 Peter 4:12. Peter says this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you." Who's you? The church. "For your testing, as though some strange, unforetold thing were happening to you." The purpose of having Satan is what? To test the church during this gospel age. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 15. "For the fire of that day shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He that builds what? His faith with gold, silver, and precious stones, which is the truth of God's word, the same shall remain. His fate will not be destroyed. But if any man build with wood, hay, and stubble, the teachings and creeds of men, the same shall suffer loss." This age, brethren, has been a struggle between truth and error, the real and the false. Ephesians 6, verses 11 to 14, Paul gives us an admonition. "Put on the full armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Deceitful spirits. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against human beings, but against evil spiritual beings, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness." You know who that is? Satan, the prince of this world. "Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Controlling. Paul says what? "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." That's why Jude said, "Let us earnestly contend with the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." How many have studied Psalms 91 in your class? Very good. If you haven't done it lately, do it again. Verses 1 to 16. "But beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God or of Satan, because by their fruits you shall know them." And then in John the 8th chapter, verse 44, Satan is still referred to as the father of lies. In 2 Timothy 3:1, "But realize this," Paul says to Timothy, "that in the last days," King James says what? Perilous times? New American says difficult times. But look up both of those words in the concordance, and what does it mean? Times of stress. Do you think life today for the world is easier than it was 50, 60 years ago? We have become slaves to the giants of this world. We see it happening every day. Amalgamations, banking systems, oil companies, chains of stores are amalgamating as one. One buys out the other. Giants of this world. We're becoming slaves to these giants. Have you watched the news lately in Europe? The people have become slaves to the oil company. That is controlled by the God of this world. Conditions have worsened in Europe today than they were 15, 20 years ago. CNN did an interview on the streets of Romania. And the question was asked, is it better today that you have freedom? What do you think the answer was? 75% said, no, we have no jobs, no money to buy things in stores. Under communism, we worked, we had money to buy things, but no freedom. So what do you want? Still, Satan is the god of this world. In the United States and Canada, how many jobs have been lost because of amalgamations? I don't have to tell you that. You know here. Today, no job is secure. But you can only go back 40 years. You can leave one job, and you can get another job the next day. Can you do it today? No. If you do, it's a minimum wage job. In Europe, and you're fortunate you don't live there, in Europe, many brethren suffer from high blood pressure. And you know what doctors say it's from? Stress. Stress. We keep sending them medications for that. In America, stress and impatience is an everyday life, isn't it? I don't have to tell you that. You heard the story of two women who were going down the freeway about a year and a half ago and are cutting each other off. One is in a hurry to pick up her two children in their primary school. And the other one is in a hurry to pick up two children from the swimming lesson. They were cutting each other off on the freeway. Finally, they came off the freeway on the exit. The woman in front, who stopped at the stop sign, went back to the back lady. She told her a few things, what she thought of her. The lady in the back car reached over into the glove compartment, pulled out a weapon. It made two children orphans. And the other two children, their mother was behind bars. That's the kind of world we live in today. Paul further describes these conditions to Timothy. He says, Timothy, second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 2. Lovers of self, money, boastful, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does this sound familiar? Satan is keeping the world very, very busy. Deceitful spirits have a way of drawing the unsuspecting on little by little. Satan gains the confidence of his victims. How does he do it? By breaking down their willpower and make slaves of them. Satan has been successful through the entire world in deluding, ensnaring humanity, especially during this harvest period that we're living. Through dreams, revelations, he has brought into the church various doctrines of devils, superstitions, spirit mediums, man-made images of God. Jesus is no longer the Son of God, they say. He is God. Mary is the mother of God. And you know what's sad? Some Bible students say that Mother Teresa will be part of the 144,000. These are teachings, brethren, or doctrines of demons, deceptions from Satan. There was a theory established that Christ's kingdom began in 800 A.D. The popes were reigning in place of Christ. The nations of Europe were God's earthly kingdoms. In history, this tells you this. What the Catholics started, the Protestants have continued. Deceitful spirits. Satan is still the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He still has a veil over the people's eyes. In the past 1400 years, many religious wars were fought over religion. 50 years at a time. When we're in Prague, Czech Republic this year, they told us there that in the year 1600, the religious war was fought for 50 years. What about Ireland? How many years have been at now? 50? Are they at peace? No. We find that in about the year 325, an end was put to all Bible study. The branding iron came down. The people were taught that their creed and other creeds made contained all that was to be believed, that any further Bible study was quite unnecessary. It was dangerous, because by believing anything not in the creeds, they would be heretics and doomed to eternal torture. You would also lose your mind if you study the Bible. That was the doctrines of demons. Man cannot die, but must live somewhere to all eternity. False doctrines is what troubling the people of God today. New garments of light are assumed continually by Satan. Hypocrisy is part of seducing spirits, consists of personalizing angels of light, pretending to bring in new light, their ministers who pose as God's servants, but who are reality are hypocrites. How many have read Isaiah 56, verses 9 to 11? We don't have time to read that. But it tells you about false prophets, who they are. It says, they have turned their own way, each one to his own unjust gain, to the last one. Come, they say, let us get wine and let us drink heavily of the strong drink, for tomorrow will be like today, only more so. Ezekiel 34, verses 2 to 31. Here it describes these doctrines or teachers of demons. They forbid marriage. Who did they forbid marriage to at first? To their priesthood. Even in 1914, prior to October, even Bible students were told, it's too late to get married. The kingdom will be here in October 1914. It's even too late to consecrate. You will never have time to make your calling election sure. Here we are, 86 years later. And those brethren who consecrated in the year 1914, they were pilgrims for the society. Later, they were pilgrims for the Dawn. They have passed on since then. But you know something? We should be happy that the kingdom did not start in 1914. Why? You and I have the privilege to still run the race. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul mentions deceitful spirits. But first of all, we're to look back in time. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verses 9 to 13. It says, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, what is he talking about? This is speaking about Canaan, which pictures God's kingdom. He says, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. What was it? Such one who uses divination, practices witchcraft, interprets omens or sorcery, one who casts spell or medium or a spiritist, or one who calls upon the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. The Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. When God's kingdom begins, this will be a no-no. No spiritism, no sorcery. Do you know what sorcery is? One who mixes poisonous medicines. What do you think that is? Poisonous drugs. You have marijuana. You have LSD. You have heroin, cocaine. You have all kinds of things. But in olden times, when they did perform this, that was used for you to drink it so the witchcraft, they can work on you because your mind goes into a delusion. You go into seventh heaven and they work on you. And that's happening today. You've watched the news. How many murders have been committed by children killing their own parents? And as they examine their lifestyle, they find that they've been on drugs for the past 5 years. We have always believed, according to the Bible, that God created Adam and Eve. The brother yesterday talked about creation. God created Adam and Eve, didn't he? He didn't create Adam and Steve. Today we have men who dress up as women. And in fact, one has submitted his name to run for the mayor of the Toronto, Canada, for the city. Another one submitted his name for the federal election, just like you have Democrats and Republicans. Well, this, he's running under the banner of the Marijuana Party. Deceitful spirit. As we watch television in Europe, in Poland, they'll come up with a commercial that you want to close your eyes on. At least you're fortunate that you have some of these programs in America which are censored and in Canada. But in Europe, they're not. Live sex on television to attract your attention of a certain commercial. We're not living in the days of Noah, my dear brethren, but we're living in the days of Lot. Deceitful spirits, Romans 1, 26 and 27, women with women, men with men, committing indecent acts, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Today's world, brethren, is spiritually and morally bankrupt. Today, minority groups are trying to rule the world. They want their rights, and they're getting them. Psalms 106, verses 35 to 39. But they mingle with the nations and learn their practices and serve their idols, which becomes a snare to them. Thus they become unclean in their practices and play the harlot in their deeds. Acts 20, verses 29 and 30. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, and not sparing the flock, from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. This, my dear brethren, took place after the apostles fell asleep, and is still taking place today as we were speaking. Have you checked the internet lately? Of how many in the world now call themselves Bible students? It could become a deception. There are those who condemn Brother Russell, and you see so much of it. And we know that this is deceitful spirits. Some say divine healing is okay. It's okay to believe in Trinity. You can be part of 144,000. These are deceitful spirits from within. Second Timothy 4 and verses 3 to 5. Paul tells young Timothy, he says, Timothy, I want you to endure sound doctrine. Let us not turn away from the truth. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Fulfill your ministry. And Paul's final advice to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:16, he says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. And in 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 and 21, O Timothy, Paul says to him, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter, and then opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some are profane and thus gone astray from the faith. The word knowledge means science. Finally, deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons will come to an end. In Revelation 18, verses 23 and 24, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all who have been slain on the earth. And in Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And we drop down to verse 8. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brethren, as the kingdom begins, the world will be free from evil. No more tears or sorrow or crying or pain. And verse 5 says, behold, I make all things new. Peace at last. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ken, for a very timely discussion on these perilous times that we're living in. May we all take heed to that and hold fast to the faith that was delivered to us and endure those sound doctrines that we have received. Brother Ken asked us to close with number 4 again, verses 3 and 4, hymn number 4, verses 3 and 4. And after this, we'll stand on the last verse, and Brother Ken will ask God's blessing upon our noon provisions that's been made for us, the noon meal, and close this service with prayer. And then after that, if you would remain seated or sit back down for a few announcements. We've got 2 or 3 announcements. Won't take but just a little bit about the meal serving and a few other things. Number 4, verses 3 and 4.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this privilege thou hast given us to gather together as thy people, as thy children. We thank thee for thy truth. We thank thee for thy Holy Spirit that thou hast granted to us. And we pray a greater measure of thy Holy Spirit be upon us this day. Continue to lead us in the path of righteousness. Keep us away from all evil and all danger. And Heavenly Father, we pray for the Israel the world over needs our tender care. And we ask thy blessing upon the fellowship. And at this time also we ask thy blessing upon the temple provisions thou hast provided for us, that the strength derived may be used in some way to bring honor and glory unto thy holy name. We pray for thy kingdom. And Heavenly Father, forgive us where we come short, where we fail, as we commit ourselves in thy care and thy keeping, giving thee thanks, and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.